The Wally Show podcast is our daily radio show heard live through the WayFM app each morning and hosted by Wally, Gavin, and me, Betty Rock. For more fun, be sure to connect with us at wayfm.com/Wally.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. Serving it sunny side up. It's News-ish with Betty Rock on The Wally Show.
When it comes to loud cars, you know the ones with the big mufflers. I cannot stand them. I mean, it's one of those things that I could be having a fantastic day. I could be on cloud nine, and immediately when some little dweeb in his car with a loud muffler and a spoiler is saying, look at me in my little car. It just irritates me to
very
no
high
end.
Pitch. I am starting to think that you have misophony, where it's a actual thing that noises bother you and make you angry.
Yes.
And from smacking of gum or whatever. This one though, I understand. Like you hear the meow, and like you have a Honda, sir.
Yeah,
like
you have a
it's
Civic.
A Civic. Exactly.
It's not a big deal. It's so annoying. Well, Julie Shermer, she is a college professor of psychology and found herself and her dog constantly being startled on their daily evening walks due to the loud, annoying cars driving by. So because of what she is, what she does for her work, she did some research on why some people want to be a nuisance to everyone around them.
Interesting.
And like I would assume, Shermer, she expected to find a strong correlation between narcissism and owners of loud cars.
Okay.
But it turns out that wasn't the case. What it was is those who drive loud cars show signs of psychopathy in their day-to-day life. You might be saying, well, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Those who own a loud car, and you think about that person, okay? Have them in your mind. According to her study, they show a total disregard for those around them.
Sure.
Okay? And they find fun and amusement out of driving by others and startling them with the noise they create.
Yes.
Okay. So you think more of the younger crowd, not so much I'm not talking about like the older gentlemen that are driving a 66 Chevy pickup truck. Like, yeah, it's just old. It's going to be, that's fine.
Right.
But I'm talking about those little dweebs. Yeah. In their Honda Civics, and they got to peel out of the McDonald's parking lot to show how manly they are.
Right. I think that's, I think it's twofold. I think it's a culture. It's a racing culture because they all want these fast, souped up cars. And so they make their mufflers louder. They purposely do that. They pack glass packs and things like that to do that. And I do think it is a attention thing. Look
it
at me
is.
And look how much money I've spent on my Civic.
And also, I will reiterate, there is a very small group of women that are impressed by this men.
Yeah.
So
I'm impressed by them.
Small group of women and Gavin.
It might be men that are impressed by other men that have loud cars, but let me tell you, if you're trying to attract a woman with a loud car, there's a very small chance it'll work.
I think what's just amazing is that you found a kindred spirit in this psychologist that hates it as much as you do, and enough to do a study on it to figure it out.
Still say there's narcissism involved.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Nobody cares about your loud car.
But at least you now know you're not alone. And you have now you have a little science to understand it. And now maybe you can start developing empathy.
No, I can't.
So the other day I was thinking about exercising again, and fortunately it was a fleeting thought, but I did find something that made me go, oh, this could work more with my lifestyle. Because a lot of people, you know how they get up early and they want to work out and feel good for the day?
Mm-hmm.
It might be better to actually work out late in the day. It could actually extend more years to your life, they say.
Oh, well, that does work out for our schedules, for sure.
Yeah, because we get up so early, and then I'd always thought, well, I guess by the end of the day it's worthless, but apparently not. Apparently it's more beneficial, and so now I lost another excuse. What they're saying is they tracked people over 8 years and found that people who exercise in the evening have a lower risk of death from any cause compared to people who don't exercise, obviously, or exercise earlier in the day.
Wonder why?
I do not know. And so they looked at this for a while. They figured that it was so dramatic that people worked out at night that why is that? Is exercising better? The data suggests that because our bodies are primed to handle blood sugar better later in the day, They think that that has something to do with it because they were looking at people who were obese and mainly with type 2 diabetes is what started this. And so I guess your body's ready to process things and it does it more efficiently later in the day that gives you the added health benefits.
Mm. Okay, so does this mean that you're going to change your schedule around? Should we be expecting you to not be reachable between the hours of 3 and 4?
Yeah, because I'm at the gym 3 and 4. Between the hours of 3 and 3:05, that's more like it. Uplifting Way FM. This is the Wally Show. Everyone got your travel buddy? I know I did. Betty Rock and I were with Compassion International recently. We went to El Salvador, had a great trip, met a lot of people, you know, that are struggling, and our goal will be to do an event for them to help kids sponsored. It was a great trip, but it started off a little rough. We're in the airport. It's before 6 a.m. We had an early flight, so it's real early. It was 5 in the morning. Betty Rock's getting all of her stuff ready and trying to get checked in, and she was 1 pound over. Mm. And I'm like, man, you're gonna have to move some stuff. And she's like, I'm just not.
Well, I might sound like a baby when he's saying that, but it is true. That's exactly how I sounded. But the thing is that I don't want to open my luggage in front of God and everyone else and have to figure out 1 pound. It just was annoying.
So I said, well, sometimes they'll let you slide. Fine, try it. So she runs it up there, puts it on the scale. The guy instantly goes, can you move some t-shirts or something? I mean, it's a pound, I know, but can you please do that? So Betty proceeds. Yeah, that was the sound. Rolls her bag off, throws it on the ground, and it's just like,
okay,
and in the midst of throwing it on the ground and jumping up and down on top of it, she somehow threw it onto my hurt toe. And it was really, really bad.
Your hurt toe was in my way.
Yes, exactly. So it was quite the experience. And that's how we started. So, okay, I've got a couple other questions about our trip. And if you can get them right, you will win a prize. If you want to play along with us right now, it's 855-33-WAY-FM. Fortunately, the rest of the trip went very well. 855-33-WAY-FM. If you want to play our little travel game, we'll do it right now. Anna, welcome to the Wally Show here on Uplifting Way FM. You ready to play our travel game?
Good morning. Yes, sir, I am.
All right. So this is about Betty Rocks and my trip with Compassion International to El Salvador. So here we go. Question number one. Let's see how much you were listening a minute ago. Before even leaving the country, Betty hurt me. Did she slam my head in the Uber door, break my toe with her suitcase, or switch seats to not hurt with me? That one was emotionally, not physically.
It would be the toe because of her 1 pound over.
Yes, okay, she did. She dropped her suitcase on me in a fit of rage at having to move things from her suitcase.
No, Anna, it wasn't a fit of rage. It was the TSA saying, you got to do this, you got to do that. And I'm like hurrying and trying to get everything together. And while he's in my way and I accidentally...
I have 10 toes, and I have one bad toe. She found it at 5 in the morning. Okay, that's good. You got that one right. Nicely done. Okay, here, question number two. My biggest regret of the Compassion trip was A, breaking a tool they had in their wood shop, B, knocking over a child while playing soccer. Nah, they had it coming. C, I missed my chance to be a first responder. So knowing what you know about the show and me, what do you think?
I say knocking over a child playing soccer.
No, that one doesn't make me cry because they're tough. And you know what? You can't pull any punches. You got to treat them like adults. No, actually, missing my chance to be a first responder. I didn't even see it happen. I was stuck trying to get through security or something, and I missed the opportunity.
Yeah, so there was this older couple, and they were trying to go up an escalator. And sadly, like, you know how it is. An escalator can go fast, and so you got to stay with it. And they lost their footing, and they both tumbled down the escalator. It was so scary. One of the people in our group had to push the emergency stop button on the escalator, and like security came and all this, and there's Wally not even around.
Not there, and they carried this man off as a hero, and they gave him the keys to the city, and here I am still in security going, what happened? Nuts. All right, here we go. Final question, got to get this right. On the hottest, sweatiest days in El Salvador, did Betty A, drink all the water so no one got any, B, push a child out of the way to get into the AC, or C, turn the only fan that was cooling anyone down and cooling both of us down just on her. What do you think?
The fan.
Yes, absolutely right, the fan. She did that. We are dripping sweat, and there's a fan on both of us, and I just see her little tiny hand go over and go, click, 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 click,
so
and turn
dramatic.
It just to herself.
You were fine.
I was not fine.
You were fine.
I was pretty far from fine, Rock. I lost 47 pounds, and don't say you don't show it. Oh, man. Well, it was a great trip, and the work that Compassion is doing in El Salvador is amazing. We'll get to share some of those stories with you in the future. But the big story right now is, Anna, you are a winner today.
Yay. Thank you.
Betty's love of crime shows has me concerned because I think that she's not learning how to protect herself, but rather how to set me up for a crime.
Oh, I for sure am.
It's a Gone Girl situation is what I'm thinking.
I'm glad I've got you right where I want you.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. You know, you need someone in your life that will set you up for success, not failure.
Yeah, and that's exactly how I felt with CCU. I mean, I felt intimidated considering going back to school as an adult after being out for so long, but I was set up for success with CCU from my first conversation all the way to graduation. Most classes are only 5 weeks long, which means you can earn your degree and still have time to do whatever you want.
Yeah, 5 week classes, that's even good for people with like ADHD.
Like
for
like
me,
you.
I know, I needed short classes so I could focus when I went back to school because Betty Rock and I kind of lived the same life.
Find out more about how you can pursue your passion and find your calling with Colorado Christian University at online.ccu.edu. Colorado Christian University is a nonprofit impact partner.
The regular news can be a steady stream of negativity.
Mischievous and deceitful. Chicanerous and deplorable.
But we like to see the brighter side of things. It's News-ish on The Wally Show.
Here's some good news. If you see Teslas driving down the street and, you know, that seems like a good idea, I'd like to buy one, but they're too expensive. That might be changing. Tesla has hit a point where the demand has started to fall and prices are coming down. And, you know, I get when you had to buy an SUV for over $70,000, you're like, that's just not in my price range for a car, you mm-hmm. know? But they did have some models that were in the high 30s and 40s, which is kind of consummate with other regular cars. But if you wanted a new Tesla and you wanted the self-driving feature, it was more expensive. And so what they just announced was that Tesla is... based on slumping sales, they're cutting the price of the self-driving feature by almost half to like about $8,000. And so if you want to add that, because really the reason to own a Tesla, so you can brag about it, is that you got the self-driving thing so that you can make videos of yourself driving
yeah.
and not driving at the same time.
We
you
should
know?
Not be trusted with that.
Yeah, I'm still not sure that it's the best thing in the world, mm-hmm. but I mean, if I'm going to own a Tesla, I want that feature. You know, honestly, I might not use it all the time.
And I won't use it responsibly. But...
possibly, but there'll be times where I would want to use it. And like $8,000 for that, I mean, you can spend that on a lift kit and some rims for your truck, you know, easy. So it's kind of back in line with what it should be. They're also cutting prices off of five of their models by about $2,000. So if you're looking to buy a car and you thought you wanted an electric car, now might be the time to do that.
But we've heard from other statements, other articles that they say that we don't have the electric power to keep all these electric cars going.
Details. Don't you worry about it, says the government. Just look over here.
Oh, geez.
Save the earth. No, that is the big problem. And you're seeing other car manufacturers like Ford and things like that pulling back on their electric vehicles too. And I seriously, not to be all political, but I really wonder if there's a little bit of doing that. Because the infrastructure to meet like Biden's deadline in the third... by 2035, mm-hmm. there's not enough infrastructure to charge them and keep them going. I would own an electric vehicle, but I would never want to travel with it to where you had to like make multiple stops to
right.
charge up. Because it takes 30 minutes once you get a charger. And like I watched a guy, I filled up my car and had gas and left before this guy even got to his charging station. You know, and
it's not worth it.
Yeah, I don't think so. But for running around town, probably not a bad idea, but I think that maybe you're seeing car manufacturers try to take the temperature of what's going to happen politically. Because, like, say Trump won, he's going to undo everything Biden did, and he's more a fossil fuel guy, and so car manufacturers go, well, why are we going to spend all this money on a product that people aren't buying because we were forced to before, you know. And so I think maybe there's a little bit of that, but who knows? I don't know. But the short end of the, or the long and short of it is, if you've been wanting to get one, now might be your time because you could actually save some money on it. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and of course that is Mandisa, and if you haven't heard the news yet, it's sad news. Mandisa actually passed away at 47 years old, and she was a bright light that radiated Jesus. Like, you could not be in a room with her without catching some of her joy.
Mm-hmm. She always had a smile on her face. She was just happy.
Yeah, and like, the difficult thing to reconcile, though, was that she battled depression and anxiety kind of silently and alone. And I am not saying that this had anything to do with her passing at all. There's no results on anything. I'm not saying that. I'm going to be very clear about that. But the reason I bring this up is because 6 years ago, we had a very open conversation with her about depression. And the interview that we did with her actually was picked up by TMZ when they reported on her death. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's actually kind of a good thing for people to hear, you know? And so, again, I'm not saying that depression had anything to do with her death, but I just wanted to highlight this conversation since TMZ posted it, because despite being sad about losing Mandisa, if this interview comes back to light and gets out broader than what we do here and helps somebody that's struggling with depression and suicide, then I think that good can come from this pain. And here's a little bit of Mandisa talking about what it's like to be a believer and battle depression.
Of course a believer is going to battle this because the enemy wants to take us out.
You go through this time and then you come out of it, but then was there also another voice in your head or the fear in your head of going, you can't share this.
Absolutely.
If you share this, it's going to hurt your career.
Absolutely. That's exactly what the voice sounded like.
Not that I'm the devil. Not that I'm the devil.
The you voice need... in everything.
I like this.
Yeah, no,
I
you
like
need to clarify
going.
That.
No, that's not what I mean, Wally.
She's wearing a shirt that says, not today, Satan. and so that's for me, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, I think, you know, the enemy, he tried to take me out, but when that didn't work, he tried to keep me silent. And what I'm realizing as I have shared about this, because my album is called Out of the Dark. So, of course, I have to talk about the darkness. It's been really amazing for me as I've spoken about it to hear from the people who said, wow, I'm just glad to know I'm not the only one. I thought that I was the only one who battled things like this. And what's amazing to me is that I thought that. I thought I was the only one that battled this and that people would think less of me if I shared it.
So is the next song going to be Overcomer-er?
You're so silly.
I loved that we could laugh in that. It was a serious conversation, obviously, but that's just kind of who Mandisa was, and I loved her. We had like a fun relationship. Like, I just loved getting at her, you know?
Wally, come on!
she was just fun to always be around. And so I love that we get to laugh a little bit inside of that. If you want to see the whole interview, you can just text the word Overcomer. It's the name of her huge song that made a difference in a lot of people's life. Again, text Overcomer to 91979 and we'll gladly send you a link and you can see the whole thing and maybe share it with somebody that might need to hear that today. Christian music definitely lost one of the good ones, one of the bright ones. This is The Wally Show on Uplifting Way FM, and that's Mandisa. She passed away at 47 years old suddenly, and not like any details on her passing yet. And so we wanted to just take a minute, though, and I was trying to think of, like, what's a great way to honor her? Because, man, she was just joy. And you would be in a room with her, and her laughter was infectious and contagious. Her joy was contagious, and it was so great being around her. And she had her struggles, you know, like everybody does. But her song, Overcomer, was huge. Good Morning America is, like, I've seen a few stories they've done on her because she, you know, did some stuff with Robin Roberts when she was sick. And so it's cool to see the impact that she had. And so what we like to do from time to time is a thing called group therapy, where we take a song and we say, hey, what is your story about this song? What did it do? How did it matter to you? How did it affect you? because the song is the same song, but everybody's story about the impact of it is very different. And I think in light of the passing of Mandisa, I couldn't think of a better way, because she was all about music. She loved music, and you weren't going to find anybody better than her. She was amazing. And so this would be a great way to honor her and, you know, her family and her friends hearing what her song meant to you, I think is pretty cool. Because I know a lot of people that are in her circles. I was texting with them over the weekend, and you know, they're all broken and hurting, you know, over this. And I think, I know they listen to the show and stuff too, and I think that would be really cool for them to be able to hear this. So, Group Therapy, the song, of course, is Overcomer. What has this song meant to you? Like, what were you going through at the time, and how did this song help you get through that thing? How did it help you overcome that thing that you were dealing with? So that's what we're going to do for Group Therapy today. 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. We'll take your story right now. So what did the song mean for you?
About 7 years ago, I had gone through something that I had never dealt with in my life. And it was a lot of anxiety, and it almost led to some depression. And Overcomer came out, and I remember being outside and listening to that song over and over and over again. I couldn't stop. And my daughter was like, "Why do you keep replaying it?" And I'm like, "Because I know that this is something I have to listen to." And it witnessed to me so much. And matter of fact, worked at a hospital, and Mandisa was actually one of our clients there, and I got to meet her and actually tell her what her song did for me, and she was the sweetest person. Like, she's exactly who y'all say she is.
Oh, that is so cool. I love that you got to meet her and actually share that with her, and I hope that people that know her hear your story today as well, as they're kind of hurting. You mentioned depression and anxiety, and that's something that Mandisa also wrestled with, and she had kept it quiet for a long time. And about 6 years ago, we had a really great conversation with her. And if you want to see this and hear it and maybe share it with somebody that needs it, we'd love to share the link with you.
Yeah, just text the word Overcomer to 91979. That's Overcomer to 91979.
What was it about this song that landed with you, Denise?
So I went through a very unexpected divorce, and heart crushing and breaking. And I would just listen to Mandisa's song over and over and over again, because it just told me I was more than my situation told me I was. And I guess the peace that I had in it is that she is in the arms of the Father that she ushered us in through her praise and worship. And so while we'll miss her deeply, she's left such an anchor for all of us to hold on to.
That's true, because the words in this song are timeless. They will live on past her short life, and it will be there to encourage other people in the future as well. You're absolutely right about that. I love your perspective, is that she did. She left a legacy. She left a legacy of joy, of hope, and of Jesus. So, Samantha, how did this song land with you?
I had been a teacher in a small town, and I was bound up by addiction. And so I left town and went to a year-long faith-based program. I graduated, come back to my hometown, and I had to get a job in a factory, which is very humbling. I was also on third shift. So I would drive to work every night, and I would play Overcomer over and over and over. And then I would get out of the car to go in, and I would be like, "I'm an overcomer in the name of Jesus, and I will walk through this." And since then, I was a program director at Teen Challenge for a long time, and I would play that for the ladies, and I would tell them the story. And I was like, "So when you graduate this program, you remember that you are an overcomer because Jesus overcame."
I love it. That's awesome. So how long have you been sober now?
8 years in June.
Nice. There you go. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Yes, thank you.
All right, Misty, you're up. What is your connection to the song Overcomer here on Group Therapy?
Got me through a super rough time when I was just left an abusive marriage. And the first few months, I was really struggling. And I listened to the song on repeat. And one day, my daughter was struggling with it, and I come through the house, and she was singing this song at the top of her lungs. And I realized that this song got us both through that really, really tough time.
It's interesting. There's been a common thread with this song, and people, yourself and others included, have said, "I listened to it on repeat over and over and over again because it's an anthem and it's a reminder. I think sometimes you have to internalize it. And it's almost, I think, at some point, aspirational. I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer, even when you're not, you know, right. As you're trying to get to that point. And I'm so glad that this song helped not only you, but also helped your daughter as well.
Yes. 8 years old, and she loves Mandisa.
There you go. Well, we had a great interview with her years ago about anxiety and depression and a heavy talk about suicide. And I love that TMZ, after Mandisa passed away, picked the story up and actually included that interview with her in their article because I think it'll reach a lot more people. And I'm thankful for that. We have it on our site. If you want to check out the interview,
text the word overcomer to 91979.
So in honor of Mandisa, and if this is something you need to hear today, here you go. It's her song, Overcomer, on Way FM.
Staring at a stop sign, watching people drive by, T-Mac on the radio. Got so much on your mind, nothing's really going right. Looking for a ray of hope.
Okay, stay close. Let's go.
Good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters April 26th.
But look around you, David. Your family, your faith, they're not in the way. They are the way.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime.
There's no food and we're almost out of money. We need to make some changes. Kids, we need your help.
It's a powerful true story that circles around miracles and about a family uniting and growing in their faith, facing the impossible together.
It's going to be dangerous and scary. It's going to be so hard that you want to go back.
The movie also features our brand new song, Unsung Hero.
You're an unsung hero. So I'll sing this song for you.
Giving up, it's not an option.
In theaters beginning April 26th, join us in making opening night a family day at the theaters.
Things you didn't know you needed to know today. It's News-ish with Gavin.
When it comes to going to a restaurant, I think there is an unspoken code of conduct.
Definitely.
That we all adhere to. Be polite, don't be too loud. Super simple stuff like that, but I found a list of actions tied to restaurant etiquette and whether or not the majority of people think that they are acceptable behavior or not. So I think we can go through a couple.
Oh, yeah, let's do like a poll.
See where we land on this. I'll start with the things that most people, the majority of people, find these acceptable. So The first one actually does surprise me. They said that sending back a dish that wasn't made as specified is an acceptable thing to do.
You know what? Anymore, because it's gotten so expensive to eat out. Like, every meal is expensive. You should be able to return McDonald's because it has lost its mind.
And two, they're expecting you to tip them.
Right.
It better be right. I agree with you. I'm just saying you better be ready to take a chance.
It can
because
be awkward.
If you send back a meal, there's a chance that they might do something to your food.
I usually, if I send it back, I say, probably my fault. I probably didn't say medium well. If you could help me, that would be great. I take ownership of it, even if I know it's not my fault, for that reason alone.
Diffuse the situation. Okay. All right,
Absolutely.
The next one was asking to be seated before your entire party has arrived. Most people think that that is acceptable.
Yes, I think it should be. Like, look, they're right around the corner. Now, I know sometimes people show up half an hour later, and that's not good. But sometimes you're like, look, I literally just talked to them. They are like 4 minutes out. You can track them. Look, find my friends. Like 360. You can see their car. And they're like, sorry, everyone has to be here. Like,
I don't care for when that's the case.
Yeah, because I want to eat more rolls than them. Let me get there. Okay.
All right. And now we'll go down the avenue of things that most people find unacceptable.
Okay.
So this one was allowing your children to roam freely.
Yes. Duh. We're not in a McDonald's playground.
Right.
Like, you can't do that.
You can't go to Olive Garden and just let them run amok throughout the entire place.
No.
I think that just is very disrespectful to the staff, to all the people who
Everybody
are there
else.
To enjoy their time.
Bad parenting. I had a kid that could sit for 3-hour dinners with adults. You know, it's like, and why could she do that? Because I trained her. You know?
You trained her like a dog.
I trained her like a kid should be trained to be respectful, and I didn't let her act the fool.
Good job. All right, and this last one, just to wrap it all up, was snapping your fingers at the waiter.
Yeah, that's rude.
Most people do think that that is very unacceptable.
Now, Betty, because I have a feeling you have snapped at a waiter.
No, I have not.
You snap at us all the time.
Yeah, well, you do.
That's different. We're like your waiters. I definitely will. I won't snap my fingers, but I definitely will make eye contact.
Yeah, that's fine. And yeah. Even lifting a hand, like, hey, sorry, I know you're busy.
Yes.
Like, that's fine. But the snap is like the root. Excuse me.
Excuse me, peasant.
Yeah.
Can you come here, please?
Yeah, so I think that's more rude. But definitely, I think, you know, raising your hand and saying, hey, totally, could you get your attention? I know you're busy, but if it's not too much trouble, at some point in time in your life, could you swing back by here and
you
give me a refill?
You know what this is starting to sound like? Yes. Like you saying you're taking responsibility for the wrong order, the wrong order, and now you're like, please,
I don't want to inconvenience
your pardon.
You. Yes.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I fear servers.
How is it that we feel like we're like, I don't know, like they've got us in a chokehold.
They do. They do. They're holding all the cards. They're holding all the cards.
Mm. And yet we're tipping them.
I know.
50%.
And on top of that, we do. But they hold all the cards. Yeah. Whoever's touching your food, you better be nice to them.
EA
Sports.
It's in the game.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. Now, Gavin, you're our sporty guy on the show. Have you ever noticed that when there's a team in the free throw line in basketball and they miss a free throw, that their teammates will step up and still, like, high-five them?
Yeah, it's for the make, for the miss. It's just the active camaraderie of just, hey, we're here for you. You're doing great.
Yeah, but you just missed a shot. You're not doing great. You're actually doing very badly. You've actually just put us behind. We were all counting
you're
on you.
You're doing terrible.
And you did not do your job.
But if they
let's celebrate that.
No, but if they said those words, then obviously like that wouldn't put the guy in the right headspace. I think that the pat on the back, the high five, is just to remind him, hey, man, like, get this next one. You got this.
Maybe if you were allowed to say that, like, hey, that was pretty bad. And we all know it. We all saw it. It was a brick. But we believe in you. Let's go. But when you just high-five them with no explanation, it seems like you guys don't get it. Like, you're just high-fiving the guy. You're rewarding him. Someone should run out and give him a trophy. Hey, we all get trophies. It's fine. You didn't do your job, but we're gonna do trophies here.
This is dramatic.
I know. This is really lighting you up.
Yeah, I know. But here's the reason, though. I looked at this study that they did on this because I'm fascinated by this. And it turns out that the high-five when they miss the free throw actually does pay off statistically on the next free throw.
Oh, so
it actually does work. It increases their confidence, and they will tend to make the next free throw.
It's not saying good job. It's an investment in the next shot.
Yeah, you're like, hey, that was rough, but you know what? We believe in you. But Make this next one.
I could see where that would work because then you know, like it's the elephant in the room. Everyone knows you missed the throw, okay? Yeah. So if they're saying, hey, we support you, we've got your back, it gives you that encouragement to be like, okay, I'm part of this team. I'm going to nail it this time. And you actually do it.
Yeah, and so, I mean,
instead of your teammate coming to you and saying, that was lousy, that was terrible, do better.
We all know you should probably take up knitting. We all know this. But, you know, like, give it another shot. Take another whack at it. So here's what we want to talk about. Based on this science, okay, of the high five for a bad job and it paying off, I am curious, has anyone ever given you a pat on the back you didn't deserve but maybe you needed? You know, and lately people need this, and it got them to the next point. And maybe someone said, hey, you're doing a good, like, you might have felt like a failed mother, you know, in some scenario with your kid, and someone was like, hey, it's okay, you got this, you know, and you're like, oh my goodness, okay, I think I can, I'm going to do this.
So this can happen at your job, in your parenthood.
Yeah. Absolutely. You're doing a great job today, by the way, Rock.
Wait, what is that?
What? Yeah, I can't even compliment you. So what is your pat on the back that you maybe didn't deserve, but you definitely needed? 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. I'd love to hear your scenario surrounding this right now. So what's yours?
When I was in my young 20s, I was actually a missionary kid, and I had a great group of friends and mentors who were also missionaries. And I was in a relationship that I shouldn't have been in, you know, non-Christian, all that. And later I found out that person was kind of like a player, I guess you'd say. And I, you know, kind of confessed what had been going on. And my mentor said, you know, I'm not disappointed in you. And I think I can say that God isn't either. And that really set me up for not wallowing in that shame and regret. And I actually was able to meet my husband about 6 months later and be ready for that
because of that person's encouragement.
Oh, that's really cool. I do think that God doesn't get disappointed in us as much as he hurts for us. I think that he knows the path and he knows what's good for us. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a difference between disappointment and hurt. I think he is like, oh, if you had just done this, your life mm-hmm. would have worked out better versus being like, oh, there they go again.
But I think that's so great, Adriana, that you said that this person encouraged you, because we can sometimes be our own worst enemy inside our heads. We're telling ourselves we messed up. We're never going to be good enough. We're never going to meet the mark. And so we don't need that coming from the outside. We're already giving ourselves a hard enough time. So for someone to step up and encourage you, that does make a huge difference.
It really does, and it made the biggest difference in my life. They really changed my life with those words.
And now for some good news.
Uplifting way of news. This is the Wally Show. If you've watched regular news for 5 minutes, you can tell that it's a bit of a bummer. And so we like to do a little good news, giddy up to balance that out. I'll go first today. There was a six-year-old girl who was outside playing, and she saw the roof of her house catch on fire. And so she runs into the burning building to get her family out. A neighbor didn't think anyone was in the house and tried to stop her and was not letting her in. But Olivia knew her mom was sleeping on the couch and her two-year-old sister and brother were home. So she ran in. House, total loss. Like, they lost everything, but everyone made it out alive because she went. But then if you're the neighbor, like, you're like, she's like, my parents or my mom's in there. And you go, okay. Like, if I'm the neighbor, I'd be like, tell me where they are. I'll go in.
Instead of letting her in herself.
You got this, girl. You go, girl. You got it. I know you're six, but go for it. good news, giddy up. Betty, go.
There's a 30-pound cat in Indiana whose name is Thicken Nugget.
Love that. Love everything about that.
Not chicken nugget.
Oh, my goodness.
Thicken nugget.
That's perfect. So good.
And he's slimming down using an exercise regimen usually reserved for dogs. A place called the Canine Aquatic Center is helping him swim way too thin. And in 7 weeks, in 7 weeks, he's lost 5 pounds.
Wow. Okay, that's not bad. Like, as a cat, like, you're not exercising a lot. You're not doing Pilates, you know, and so to lose 5 pounds in that amount of time.
Little Thicken Nugget won't be so thick anymore.
I know. That's a great nickname, too.
I like it being 30 pounds.
All right, Gavin, good news, giddy up, go.
A Girl Scout troop near Nashville raised a bunch of money selling cookies this year and used it to help people find their lost pets. They installed microchip scanners at their local library and a nearby animal shelter. So now anyone who finds a lost dog or cat can bring them in and scan them. That's a really cool way, because a lot of times I feel like they raise money and it's used to, you know, win the bike or win something cool. But in this case, just getting to help people with their pets.
That's awesome.
So sweet.
I saw somebody on TikTok the other day that goes, just a thought. What if the Girl Scouts is actually a cookie company just using child labor?
Oh.
And they're not really Girl Scouts.
No.
They're just a cookie company.
That would be smart. Honestly,
it's ingenious.
Honestly, props.
I know. Hey, whatever you do between you and the government, we love your cookies.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.
Uplifting Way FM. This is The Rock Report with Betty Rock.
Sadly, we were all hit with the news last week that Mandisa passed away at only 47 years old. We know her from hits like these. Kicked off back in 2005 when she auditioned for the 5th season of American Idol, and she quickly became a favorite for many viewers, including the judges.
This
Next to me is the best vocal by a female this season.
You made everyone who appeared before you appear ordinary. Brilliant.
Well, now American Idol is on its 22nd season, and they did announce that with their next episode set to air Monday the 29th, they will be paying musical tribute to Mandisa.
Oh, musical tribute? Like, I wonder if they'll do, like, her song, like, as part of that, will they'll have the kids do their song, some of her songs, or if they'll just do, like, a montage or something of
her
stuff.
Yeah, I don't really know.
Yeah, she has so many great songs, so it'd be interesting to see what they do and how they choose to honor her. She was such a bright light, man. I mean, like, I've talked about this before. Like, you couldn't help but catch joy from her when you were in the same room as her.
And I hope she knew that, you know, like, when she was here on this earth, I hope she knew the great impact that she made on so many people's lives.
I know I got a chance to tell her personally a few times how much she meant to me and how much I enjoyed interacting with her. And we always kind of had a fun sparring type relationship on the air.
Wally, come on!
Wally, come on! I just love her. You're so silly. She said, you're so silly. Mm-hmm. And it always made me smile.
Yeah, and y'all sat down a while back and talked about her her difficulties in life with her mental health. And you can actually watch that video, that whole interview, when you text the word overcomer to 91979. That's overcomer to 91979.
Yeah, because it was the first time she was really starting to talk openly about struggling with her mental health stuff. And I think it's powerful, and especially coming from her, that you wouldn't think struggled like that. It might be something that you or somebody that you know needs to see. So like Betty said, overcomer to 91979, and we'll send you the link. As you get older, some things in your life get affected adversely. Hey, it's the Wally Show on Uplifting Way FM, and for me, that's my balance. And not my physical balance, my mental balance has been affected. I'm very passionate, and the dumbest things set me off. And that's why I was so glad to find this group of people having a conversation online about the things that they say make them disproportionately angry. Like those things that you have this really visceral reaction to that is, in the grand scheme of things, is kind of dumb.
And everyone else around you seems to not understand. Yes. They say, wow, you're being super dramatic.
And it makes it worse when they don't understand you, because Betty's pretty low-key and pretty even-keeled. It takes a lot to rattle her. I know the things that do, and so she pretends to be perfect, but there are certain things that get her.
I know I'm not.
Send a loud muffler car by her, she will,
I will
end you.
I will throw hands. You got a loud muffler on your car? Yeah. Come here, I'm going to smack you.
See, and she gets disproportionately angry about that. Me, if like I am ever at a stoplight or I'm letting somebody go in traffic, and like I flash my lights at them or I wave them like, go, 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 go. Because, you know, usually it's a stressful time and you're trying to be nice. And then they sit there and they look at you like, oh. And you're like, go, 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 go. Flash, flash, flash. Go, flash, go, flash, go, flash. And I'm like, just go already. What you? Ah! And then I just go. And then they start to go right as you're going. Disproportionately angry. Drives me absolutely insane. And so.
You know what's so funny? Yes. Is this is reminding me of Pastor Chad, because we recently went on a work trip together, and he was getting so disproportionately mad at the people that were walking in the airport because some people were on the phone. It's like traffic on the road, like, and when they're on their phone, they're not paying attention, they just swerve straight into walking path, and he's like, these people need to just get off their phones.
When we first hired Pastor Chad and we brought him here, I'm like, great. Now there's somebody else that made me feel guilty about me. And then I met him, and I'm like, oh, he's worse than me. Oh, this is so good. This is so good.
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, birds of a feather he and I are. It's so good. So this is what we want to talk about with you. What is that thing? This is where you can get off your chest in a healthy place. You're in a safe place here. We're in the trustery. And you can say, what is that thing that makes you disproportionately angry? And maybe you know it's crazy, and you calm yourself down afterwards like, that was a lot. That was an overreaction. But it does get you every time. 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. Make myself and Chad feel better about our decisions. 855-33-WAY-FM. So what's yours, Donna?
People in the fast lane going slow.
Oh, I know. I know. You're like, would you please move over? And like, you might even give them the flash here and there.
The flash of the headlights.
Yes. Good distinction, Rock. When they won't move, and it's obvious that they're holding everybody up and you got a line of cars behind you, just move over, and then they won't, and then you go around them and then five other cars, and somehow you think, okay, once we get all by them, they'll realize that was crazy, I was in that lane, and they'll move over, and you look in your review, they're still there.
Yes, holding everybody up.
All right, Heather, you're up. What is that thing that makes you disproportionately angry?
The clicking of a pen or the tapping of acrylic nails.
Oh,
man, you must hate influencers because that's all they do. Like, they're saying, get ready with me while I get ready for work. And then they'll always take their acrylic nails and, like, just tap them on something.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy. All the time.
If I ever have a pen that's, like, has the clicker on it, you just get away from me because I click it. I am a pen clicker. Yes, I am.
You would not be able to work with Wally ever.
No, it turns out I'm actually a little noisy.
He's a little twitchy.
I make a lot of various random noises.
And then gets mad at you when you get annoyed by them.
Yeah, well, that's kind of your problem then.
See?
I didn't make you annoyed. You chose to be annoyed.
See?
Well, Heather, we appreciate you being on the show with us today. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Kim, what is your thing that you think sets you off a little bit?
Smacking your food.
Oh,
boy.
Oh, boy. You know, that is a great one, and one that I think I would agree with as well as many others. Yet, Wally would not agree with. He can be noisy with pudding, with Jell-O. Chips, don't even try.
Yeah, I
but
realize.
But yeah, we're the problem. We're not him.
Kind of like snoring. I was never aware of it, and so I didn't think that I really snored. I thought my wife was lying to me because she snores, and I think she wakes herself up, but I'll take it. But with the eating loudly, I have recently realized that
You're a mouth breather?
It is true. Yeah, well, I wouldn't go that far, but it is true that I tend to be noisy when I eat.
It even has gotten to the point where his wife will tag me in memes of people eating loudly, and she'll say, show this to Wally.
Well, that's because you're just both against me, okay? Like, I could handle it when it was just you. Now you've turned her against me too, Rock.
Oh, see, once again, I'm the problem and he's the victim.
Always.
My mom used to always say, do you know why the Lord gave you two ears and one mouth? Hey, it's the Wally Show on Uplifting Way FM. Did you ever hear that, Betty Rock, when you were a kid?
I did not.
Oh,
but I'm guessing that she didn't have a reason to tell me this, but your mom did have a reason to tell
you. Oh, I needed it. Yeah, it's so you could listen twice as much as you talk.
Mm.
That's what she said. Mm, preach. I know. I was a chatty kid, too.
Well, you're a chatty adult as well.
I know. Fortunately, I found a business that encourages that. But I came across this thing that was talking about how shutting up and listening when it comes to our faith is important, whether it's sharing your faith or whether it's just inside of your own faith. You know, like so many times when we're sharing our faith, we try to win a conversation or win somebody over. And the whole point of this is you need to listen, because listen means you're present in the moment. And if you're listening, you can actively, instead of thinking of my next point, I've got to make my next point. If you're listening and asking questions, then you can actually better serve the person that you are trying to share your faith with. Because ultimately, that's what it should come down to. It's that old quote of people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Mm.
And I thought that was interesting. But then also, too, when it comes to our own faith as well, listening during prayer is important, too. Being quiet before God, being still. I've never heard the audible voice of God. I'm not one of those people that would ever claim that. But I definitely feel that when I've been in silence before him, I've heard, we'll use in quotes, but felt different things pop into my mind that I wouldn't have thought of before.
Well, and I think that's an important practice to have, because when we do that, we start to notice all the things that are trying to vie for our attention. And when we purposefully make it a point to sit down and clear our minds and give God the space to talk to us, we realize he actually has been there the whole time. We just got to give him the space to talk.
Yeah, because a lot of times we want to give him the laundry list of all the needs. We got, okay, guard, here we go. Buckle up, buttercup. Yeah. Going to be a ride. And you get through everything. You're like, thank you for this day. Amen. You know,
mm-hmm.
And you really don't spend that moment to just be quiet and have something pop into your head that's directly related to what you're talking about with him, you know? And so I think that that's good advice in a lot of areas. Sometimes it work too. Just shut your mouth, you mm-hmm. know, and just listen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't fix it, just listen. Yeah. I think a lot of women would like to say that to their male friends, maybe their husbands, boyfriends. I don't know.
Maybe guys suffer from this a little bit more. I don't know.
Don't fix it, just listen.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe that helps you out today, especially inside of your faith of like wanting to hear from God. You can't hear from God if you're always talking, I think really is the point of that whole thing. So maybe that helps you out today. I hope so. It definitely refocused me a little bit on it too.
Well, that's the end, but it doesn't have to be. Check out our aftercast. It's new stuff you didn't hear in the podcast. Be sure to rate us on iTunes as well as connect with us on social media. Just search Wally Show. And if you'd like to join our Facebook group made exclusively for you potties, the link is in the description of this podcast. Thanks to Colorado Christian University Online for supporting what we do.